Our reading for this morning is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, and beginning with verse 1. So he got into a boat, that would be Jesus, crossed over and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. Would you please bow your head with me? O gracious Father, these things are written for our learning. Granted by your Holy Spirit, we might indeed learn from them. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Back in 1978, Steve Little was a great field goal kicker for the University of Arkansas Razorback football team. He tied that year a record that was only set earlier that year by another great kicker from the University of Texas, but the record was 67 yards, college football field goal. He was drafted into the pros early in the draft the next year, and the following year, after only 1 year in the pros, his promising career came to a screeching halt one night because he had gotten drunk at a party and drove his car into a tree and was paralyzed from the waist down. In the late 1990s, I happened to be watching a Razorback football game on television, and there he was on the sidelines. The camera panned down, and there he was, wheeling his wheelchair up and down the sidelines, no doubt wistfully thinking about how his own life might be different if he had not given into temptation that night a long time ago. I cannot help but wonder if the paralyzed man in our story, in our lesson from the Gospel of Matthew that we read just a few minutes ago, I wonder what caused his paralysis. We're given no indication. It may have been the actions of someone else, may have been himself, may have been paralyzed from birth due to no sin of anyone in particular or no accident from anyone in particular. But I do find it interesting that the very first words out of Jesus' mouth upon meeting this man who was lying on his pallet, and Luke tells us that he was lowered into a room from the rooftop, that the very first words from Jesus' mouth were not small talk. They were, "My son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." What a way to begin a conversation, isn't it? Kind of unusual to my way of thinking. Unusual for two reasons, at least in my mind. Because first of all, they were not bringing this man to receive forgiveness. Luke tells us that the power of the Lord was present to heal them, and it was in that context that they were bringing this man. They were bringing him for healing, not forgiveness. So it's a bit odd to my senses anyway that Jesus first tells him that his sins are forgiven. Of course, Jesus had a purpose in doing that and in saying that first. Think about this for a minute, would you? Here's the second reason I think it's unusual. Just imagine that you were walking down a sidewalk having an argument with your best friend, and the argument became heated and so heated until finally the argument has run its course, there's nothing left to say, and only silence results. And you're giving each other the cold shoulder as you walk down the street. And finally, one of you, let's say you, turn to your friend and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said what I said to you." And I happen to be walking, the moment you say that, I'm walking past you down the sidewalk in the opposite direction. And as soon as you say that to your friend, I turn to you and say, "Don't worry, I forgive you." Wouldn't you think that's kind of odd? You didn't sin against me. You sinned against your friend. And here I am acting as if you sinned against me. That is exactly what Jesus does here. He acts as if this man had sinned against him. Most likely this young man had never seen Jesus before. We aren't the only ones to notice this unusual behavior. The scribes noticed it too. They were maybe the professional Bible scholars of their day. And when they heard Jesus forgive this man his sins, they said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." Why? Because he's acting as if this man had sinned against him. And there's only one way that that could happen. And this is a profound point that Jesus is making to this crowd and also to you and me this morning. This man who had never, most likely anyway, laid eyes upon Jesus had sinned against him. What Jesus is claiming seems to everybody there in that room to be incredible. Let's stop for just a moment, shall we, with a word of application. Another story that probably doesn't make much sense to anybody but me, but let's imagine that you dropped your cell phone on the floor, and before you could pick it up, someone came along and stomped on it. And they did that on purpose. They just stomped on it and broke it. And wouldn't you have a right to be angry, especially if it was your brand new smartphone that cost a lot of money? Why, you would have every right to be angry, wouldn't you? Why? Because that's your property, not theirs. They shouldn't be doing that to your property. Well, now think for a minute. Anytime you sin against someone else, you're sinning against God's property, aren't you? And whenever you make fun of another person, you're making fun of God's person. And whenever you misuse the talents that He's given you, or you don't use them at all, you're misusing God's talents that He gave you. Whenever you sin, even if no one else knows it and no one else sees it, you've sinned against God because He made you. You belong to Him. And that is why what Jesus claims here seems to be so incredible. This man with dusty feet and dirty robes claims he can forgive sins against God. It seems incredible. But to show that it is indeed credible, he says this: "Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house," he said. By the way, which was more important, do you think? The healing of his body or the forgiveness of his sins? I'll be honest with you. We usually think the healing of our bodies, don't we? That's what we seem to want when we're ill, when we have an affliction of some kind. We desire that so much. But Jesus shows us here that the healing he gives really was a way of validating who he is. And it is the forgiveness that is all important. Many people down through the centuries have claimed to receive a message from God, haven't they? Some have even claimed to be God. But only one who claimed to be God actually proved it in the presence of witnesses. And not only could he say, "This man, your sins are forgiven," because he was the one against whom the man had sinned, but he could say it for another reason, and that is because he, that is Jesus, was the very Lamb of God who was sent to be the sacrifice to pay for the forgiveness of this man's sins. He was also the sacrifice sent to pay for the forgiveness of your sins, to take away yours. And he did that at the cross of Calvary when his blood flowed down. Believe it or not, and I hope you do believe it, it washed away every one of your sins, all of them, so that St. Paul could write, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." May the peace that passes all understanding keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Would you please bow your head with me? O Almighty and everlasting God, by your Son Jesus Christ, you mercifully help the paralytic both in body and soul. We ask you now, for the sake of your great mercy, be gracious also to us. Forgive us all our sins, and so govern us by your Holy Spirit that we may not ourselves be the cause of sickness and other afflictions. Keep us in your fear and strengthen us by your grace that we may escape temporal and eternal wrath and punishment. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. We have a prayer request for this morning. On behalf of Carol Schrader, the mother of Anna Schrader, Carol was in a serious car accident on Saturday and has been hospitalized with a brain injury. There is slight bleeding on her brain. Let us go to the Lord, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that by your hand you have spared the life of your child, Carol. According to your good and gracious will, we ask now that you would bring healing to her body through the blessings of medical care. Grant wisdom and ability to her doctors that she may be returned again to full health. Above all, we pray that you would comfort her and the members of her family with the consolation that you alone can give through your word. We entrust her into your loving arms and ask all of this in Jesus' name, our Redeemer. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.